grace. God has made the law of karma, but he can also set it aside. If we cannot press aside his law, the law will be greater than he. This cannot be, for he is the infinite omnipotent Lord, so he must have the power to suspend any law. Generally, God does not interfere. He allows the karma to be worked out, but he may, in special cases, go beyond his law and by his grace free the soul from the bondage of karma. Our mind turns towards God only by his grace. It is his grace that makes us yearn for him. Grace is self-revealing. When grace comes to us, our heart becomes perfectly pure and we overflow with love for all beings. We shall have no ill feeling towards anybody. We shall experience a rare joy which we never had before. Does faith come first or grace first? It has been conclusively proved by saints who have had the highest spiritual experience that grace comes first. Without grace, we cannot have faith in God. The true devotee says, O God, I remember you because you remembered me first. Our ego sense makes us think we can attain him by our sadhana or struggle. But we should realize our helplessness and know that our efforts are by themselves of no avail. Then we surrender to him and depend on his mercy. Thus we need his grace at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. Grace is all in all. We cannot get grace by virtue of our so-called merit. The worst sinners have received grace and become pure and glorious. Purity is not a precondition for grace. It is the flow of grace that makes the heart pure. When grace comes, it comes not because we deserve it, not as a reward for our sadhana, but only out of God's boundless mercy and love. One who gets grace never feels he is worthy of it. The way of grace is mysterious. You struggle for it and you do not get it. Sometimes without any struggle you get it. Its working is governed by something beyond all laws. It is not bound by any rules, regulations or conditions. You are wonderstruck when grace comes to apparently undeserving persons, while the so-called deserving ones are still waiting for it. Look at it from another angle. It must be said, grace is pouring on all alike. Some receive it and some do not. Some people open the windows of their hearts to receive grace and benefit by it, while others keep them closed and so they do not get it. But even to keep the windows of the heart open, we require inner aspiration and longing which can come to us only through his grace. Grace is ever pouring on us from God, as the sun is ever shedding light on all objects, opaque, translucent, and transparent. But opaque objects do not reflect the light. Translucent things reflect it but partially, while transparent things reflect it fully. The difference is not due to the absence or failure of sunlight, but due to the difference in the reflecting capacity of the objects. Similarly, we imbibe grace and benefit by it according to our capacity to receive, according to our preparedness and purity. If grace is all in all and comes of its own accord, governed by no laws or conditions, what is the place of sadhana in spiritual life? Why should we perform sadhana at all? The secret is that sadhana is done to make us realize that by sadhana alone we cannot attain him. So long as our ego sense persists, we cannot see God. When we know we are utterly helpless, in spite of all our efforts to attain him, our ego sense is crushed and we throw ourselves at his feet. It is difficult to know why God reveals himself to some and plays the game of hide and seek with others. It is his leela. he cannot be accused of favoring some and forsaking others. Let us always remember that he ever dwells in us and that we ever dwell in him. He who reveals himself to us is he. He who plays hide and seek is also he. Everything is he. Guru is he, Shishya is he, player is he, witness is he. There is none but he. Realize this great truth and rest happy.